A title appears, My Dog the Thief. A large St. Bernard trots along the sidewalk of a strip mall.
Barabbas has a very bad habit that is way beyond belief.
Though his friendship may be loyal, in a breed of dogs so royal, that dog Barabbas is a doggone thief.
An elderly man flattens wet cement on a sidewalk, then takes a break and pulls a sandwich from a paper bag.
Chase a rabbit, it would bring us such relief.
But no matter where Barabbas is, he will let you know what you have is his.
Barabbas the St. Bernard spots the bag. Panting, he creeps over, grabs the bag in his mouth, then jogs over the spotless wet cement.
Now you've heard about the legend of man's best friend.
The man gives chase, leaving deep footprints beside the dog's paw prints. Now, on a golf course, a man tees off. The golf ball lands on the green while Barabbas lies nearby, chomping on the bag.
Stealing things a man should.
Nearby, Barabbas stops tearing the paper bag and observes it. As the ball rolls toward the hole, the dog runs over and dashes off with it. The golfer gestures angrily. On a street, a motorcycle cop pulls over a woman in a white convertible. Watching from a nearby shrub, Barabbas sees the cop leaving his black gloves on the motorcycle seat before approaching the car. Sneaking over, the dog snags one glove. Noticing him, the cop chases after Barabbas, who races off down the street and toward a forested area. Later, the cop stands in a large crowd holding his now tattered glove. The angry golfer shows a chewed up ball and the elderly man gestures indignantly. Facing them, a distressed balding man turns to Barabbas standing on a porch behind him. The dog lowers his gaze sadly.
Barabbas, his faults and his habits are too many to be brief.
A man in a white coat leans against a van which bears the sign Valley Animal Shelter as Barabbas' victims continue their tirade.
Some think he's adorable,
lovable,
deplorable.
Barabbas' owner beckons the dog catcher who ties a rope to his collar.
Is a doggone.
Well, he's long gone.
Is a doggone thief.
The owner looks away with a disappointed expression as the dog catcher leads Barabbas away. The elderly man mouths, good. Barabbas pauses for a moment and glances at the onlookers, then continues on. The golfer and the numerous people standing with him watch the dog with frowns. The dog catcher hoists Barabbas toward an open door at the back of the van. As the dog places his front paws on the bumper, the dog catcher picks up his rear legs and moves him into the van, then slips off the rope and shuts the door. With Barabbas gazing woefully out through a grilled window, the van drives off down the street. Later, the dog catcher carries a small dog in a cage from a house to his van. Setting down the cage, he unlocks and opens the rear door, and Barabbas races off.
Come back here! Barabbas, come back here! I want to get my hands on that miserable mutt!
He loads the small dog into the van and shuts the door. As Barabbas trots down a street, the van takes a U-turn and drives after him. Barabbas turns left and heads under a sign reading Valley Airport. The van follows. Barabbas races past several small airplanes sitting on a tarmac and enters a hangar. The dog catcher drives in after him, then widens his eyes and shifts gears. The van reverses out the hangar, its hood under the nose of a twin propeller plane as it taxis out. The dog catcher veers off to the side and stops, then hops out.
Barabbas! Barabbas, come out of there! I know you're in there! Come on!
He runs and Barabbas exits through a small door.
Barabbas! This old dog will get me killed someday.
A mechanic turns and heads away from a helicopter. The St. Bernard walks over and jumps into the aircraft. Meanwhile, the dog catcher exits through the small door as the mechanic approaches.
Hey, do you see a dog around here?
What kind of dog?
A St. Bernard, about shopping.
A St. Bernard? Mister, this is the USA, not Switzerland.
Thanks for the geography lesson.
As the dog catcher hurries away, a dark-haired man drives over in a sleek black convertible, then gets out and checks his watch.
What are you looking at your watch for? It's always 2 minutes before takeoff time when you blow in.
Your watch is slow. I'm making a minute and a half. Chopper all set to go.
It is, but you're not. Your boss is waiting for you in the office.
Oh, no.
In an office, a man uses a phone.
Well, you may be a good engineer, but I own the station.
And I personally heard you overlap a used car commercial with the frost warning.
The pilot enters.
I don't care about that. Those farmers don't buy airtime, so that makes a used car dealer's lemons a lot more important.
That's a cute joke, Mr. Applegate. Lemons, you're really with it today.
Crandall, I'm going to get right to the point. The ratings on our morning and our evening shows have been dreadful. As a matter of fact, each week they get more dreadful.
Al, isn't it possible that the disc jockeys are playing the wrong kind of music?
How can they be playing the wrong kind of music when they're playing exactly the same kind of music as every other station in town? No, it's those boring traffic reports of yours. Every time we cut to you, the audience cuts us out.
Mr. Applegate, I don't make traffic congestion. I just report it.
Just like all the other local stations. Except over at KASW, they've got a glamour girl over there. She reports the traffic conditions wearing a skin-tight flight suit. And over at KYLD, they got that ex-war ace. He's got everybody driving the freeways like they were personally outwitting the entire Red Army.
I guess I could start telling jokes up there, except I can never remember the punchlines.
Randall, let me put it this way. There are three dull things in this world. And one of them is my wife. And the other is her mother. And the third are your traffic reports. Now, the first two, they're beyond help. But those traffic reports of yours. Well, let me tell you this. Unless you put a little zots into them, a little flair into them, and unless your ratings start to go up, we are going to shoot you and your egg beater down. That'll be all, Crandall.
Yes, sir.
Crandall heads out of Mr. Applegate's office. Moments later, he climbs into the pilot seat of the red and white helicopter, then flicks an overhead switch. Barabbas sleeps in the back.
K-Pay helicopter, request takeoff instructions.
Tower to K-Pay, runway 15, clear.
Barabbas wakes up as the helicopter shakes and lifts off into the air. Peering out a window, the dog gazes at an array of buildings and streets far below. Crandall flies the helicopter over a freeway with heavy traffic crawling along the lanes in one direction. He checks his watch, then flicks a switch on the dashboard, and a light labeled Ready turns on. Meanwhile, a bearded man and a bespectacled man sit in a control room.
Crandall's checking in on the bird.
Time to lay the first egg of the afternoon.
In the chopper, a light labeled On the Air switches on.
Hi out there in freeway land. This is Jack Crandall in the K-Pay helicopter. So sit back and enjoy the K-Pay air traffic watch.
In a car, a man changes stations.
Time. Traffic on the westbound.
The same happens in several other cars.
Manner at about
in low overcast along the coast.
Nothing out of the ordinary to report.
In the control room.
Things are about the same over the interchange.
I don't know which is more monotonous. Being stuck in traffic. Listening to him tell me about it.
Applegate listens in his office.
Now I'll head on out to the Ventura Freeway and see if there's anything happening out there. Can't be as bad as it is here in L.A.
He pushes a button on his desk, then makes a call.
Call personnel. Pink slip for Crandall, Jack.
Back in the helicopter.
That's just about it for now, folks. This is Jack Crandall in the K-Pay helicopter returning you to the studio. Happy driving, everyone.
Barabbas lies on the floor in the back of the helicopter. As Crandall grabs a paper bag and removes a donut from it using his free hand, the dog raises his head. Crandall goes to eat the donut, then stops as he notices a traffic jam. He places the snack on the seat beside his.
Jack Crandall again, your air traffic watch reporter. More trouble, I'm afraid, for our freeway friend. This time on the inbound Valley Freeway near the junction. Traffic is slowing up in the number one.
Barabbas swipes at the donut with his paw.
Lane. In fact, now it's almost at a complete standstill. And as we fly over the area, I can see the cause of this little difficulty.
He slowly turns his head to the side.
There it is. A large overturned St. Bernard dog blocking the exit.
Barabbas holds the donut in his mouth.
St. Bernard up here? I don't believe it.
He glances at the dog.
I do believe it.
From behind, Barabbas places his forepaws on Crandall's shoulders, and the helicopter flies unsteadily.
Get off my back, you crazy mutt!
Do you want me to cut him off? He sounds like he's flipped.
He has. I prefer him that way.
What do you want me to do, splash down on the freeway?
The chopper descends.
Get off!
Riding the helicopter, he holds Barabbas at bay.
Well, folks, excuse the little interruption. Just a dog, that's all. Well, as I was saying, the trouble on the inbound Valley Freeway near the junction. Seems to have been caused by
Oh, shut up, will you?
Not you folks, him, the same truck, for the overturned dog.
Yeah.
Releasing the control stick, Crandall goes to grab Barabbas.
What are you trying to do? Hey, let go of that.
Barabbas bites the control stick and the chopper swerves.
Come on, you crazy mutt. Get away. Will you get off?
Pushing him away, Crandall grabs the control stick and straightens the helicopter.
Now eat another donut and shut up. Hi again, folks. The congestion seems to have eased on the Valley Freeway.
Barabbas gobbles a donut.
By the way, if any of you down there in freeway land have noticed a slight disturbance up here, well, I'm afraid we have a stowaway on board. Matter of fact, the chomping you hear is a large St. Bernard eating a donut.
In a car.
Isn't he cute?
Who?
The dog, of course.
Correction, the St. Bernard's now finished the donut, now licking my ear. Stop that! I don't know who he is or how he got here, but if any of you down there has lost a St. Bernard who likes to lick people's ears, I wish you'd come up and get him.
In his office, Applegate answers the phone.
Yes?
We're beginning to get calls about Mr. Crandall and the traffic air watch, sir. I thought you might like to listen to what's happening.
Well, I wouldn't like to, but I will.
He pushes a button.
He weighs about 150 pounds and has a horrible bark. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
In a vehicle.
Well, he don't tell us much about the traffic, but I'll say one thing. He ain't as boring as he used to be.
In a car, a woman holds a dog while a man drives.
Imagine, a dog in a helicopter.
You're always so gullible, Herman. It's a put-on. That act wouldn't fool anybody.
She stares at her dog, then eyes the smiling man. In another car, a clean-shaven man rides with a mustache man while a third drives.
That's some switch, ain't it? I mean, having a dog up there. I love dogs. Any kind of dogs. I got a thing about dogs.
Could we dispense with the trivia?
Traffic watch signing off.
They're at the house now.
The driver points to a large house.
Servants are out. The Cosgrove family is away. And the safe is behind the portrait in the living room.
Don't you worry, Mr. Travell. We'll handle everything just the way you want it.
At these stakes, you better be right.
The mustache man eyes Mr. Travell uneasily. At the Valley Airport, the K-Pay helicopter lands on the tarmac. Opening the door, Crandall exits, then pulls Barabbas out.
Come on, flying's over. Get lost. Beat it. You've caused enough trouble for one day.
The mechanic waits by Crandall's car.
Applegate wants to see you down at the station like 10 minutes ago. Wants to ask you a few questions about your co-pilot.
Well, he's not the only one. What was that flea-bitten mutt doing in my chopper anyway?
Hiding from the dog catcher, I guess. One of them's around here today looking for a St. Bernard.
Why didn't you help him look for it? So I wouldn't have to start looking for a new job. Oh, no, you don't.
Barabbas gets in the car.
Come on. Out.
Crandall tries in vain to pull the dog out.
Come on. Go help a mountain climber. Out. Out. Come on, I don't want to play. Out.
The mechanic smiles.
Okay, maybe I can't outmuscle you, but I can sure outthink you.
He removes a white tennis ball from a canister. He throws it far.
Okay. Fetch, boy, fetch!
Barabbas races off after it.
That's the end of him.
Crandall gets into his car and drives away, leaving the mechanic gazing after him. As Crandall coasts down the street with his car's soft top lowered, Barabbas runs after him. The car bucks, and Crandall turns to see Barabbas sitting in the back with the ball in his mouth.
Come in.
Crandall enters Applegate's office.
You sent for me, sir?
Barabbas enters.
Oh, you brought your little friend with you, I see.
Will you get out of here? Come on, get out. Out.
As Crandall tries to haul him away, Barabbas sits down.
Very sorry, sir. I can't do anything with
him. I know what you mean. I heard your broadcast.
Now, look, Mr. Applegate, before you say another word, let me explain. The whole thing was
brilliant, Crandall.
Exactly. The whole thing...
He turns to his boss.
I beg your pardon?
Well, it's the freshest approach to traffic reporting that I've heard in a long time. It's funny, too. Imagine a dog's eye view of traffic.
Barabbas arrives at Applegate's side.
That's right, boy. You did a good job. Crandall, do you have any idea how many dog lovers there are in this area? Well, there are millions. And we're going to have the meeting right out of our hands. You know what we're going to have meeting? We're going to have the meeting Grow Fast Dog Food. I talked to their ad manager. I got him interested in sponsoring the whole program.
But, sir, you don't expect me to take him up again, do you? What does he do for an encore?
Well, that's your problem. But from now on, you're a team. You're like Romeo and Juliet, Hansel and Gretel, Jonah and the Whale. Whither thou fliest, he flies.
Yeah, but Mr. Applegate.
That'll be all, Colonel.
He sets down a pipe.
Yes. Come on, partner.
Barabbas follows Crandall out. Applegate picks up a box of matches, removes one, and lights it. Then reaches for his pipe, but finds it missing. He checks under a desk mat, then puts out the match. In a hallway outside, Barabbas holds the pipe in his mouth. Now at an animal shelter, Barabbas rests his head on the dog catcher's desk while Crandall stands beside him.
Just pay the $5 fee and Barabbas is yours.
Barabbas? That's his name?
His given name. Of course, he's been called a lot of other names, especially by the people who've owned him. He has been adopted and returned 8 times.
8 times? But why?
I put it this way. Some dogs are hunters, some are diggers, others are Romeos. Barabbas is a thief. I could retire on the dough his owners have had to cough up for the stuff he swiped.
Okay, he's a canine kleptomaniac, but I'm still going to take it.
Yeah. Don't say I didn't warn you.
Come on, Barabbas.
Crandall leads the dog out. Later, he drives with his car's white roof up. Barabbas sits in the back seat.
Well, you sure put me to a lot of trouble. You'd better be worth it.
He turns toward an apartment building. In a hallway with a door at its end, a sign beside an open door reads Manager.
So you see, Miss Lawrence, we run a very tight building here at Valley Garden Apartment. Oh, yes, Mrs. Formby.
Crandall enters, dragging a large cardboard box. He stops outside the manager's office where a white fluffy cat sits in a basket between Mrs. Formby and Miss Lawrence.
Naturally, in a happy building, we discourage noise, bathing suits in the lobby, and above all, dogs.
Dogs, Mrs. Formby?
Yes, that latter rule is so that Cleopatra here can breathe normally. She has an allergy to canines of every description. Don't you, poor dog?
The cat sneezes.
Cleopatra, what's the matter? We never have any doggies around here.
Crandall passes,
darling,
the box covering Barabbas down to his paws.
Oh, Mr. Crandall!
Crandall slams the box down.
I want you to meet your new next-door neighbor, Miss Lawrence. Mr. Crandall in 2C, Miss Lawrence 2D.
How do you do, Miss 2D?
Hello.
Oh, that certainly is an intriguing-looking package.
It is? Yeah, I mean, isn't it?
What on earth is in it?
Actually, it's a birthday present.
Birthday?
You see, it's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh. Who's it from?
From my Aunt Bessie. Oh. It's probably in an eiderdown quilt. She was going to make me one.
What for?
What for? She worries about me on cold nights.
In Southern California?
Aunt Bessie thinks I live in the northern part of Southern California.
How very amusing. Come along, Miss Lawrence.
Nice to have met you, Mr. Crandall.
Nice to have met you. Glad we're neighbors.
As Mrs. Formby and Miss Lawrence board an elevator, Barabbas starts moving the box away. Crandall quickly sits on it.
We are waiting, Mr. Crandall.
Oh, go ahead. I don't want to crowd you.
Nonsense. There's plenty of room.
Well, if you insist.
Standing, he grabs a thin rope running around the box and pulls it, but the box doesn't budge. He gives the women a grin, then tries again.
I must say it seems very heavy for an eiderdown quilt.
Yes, doesn't it? She must have sent along a couple of eiderdown pillows, too.
The landlady shrugs and Crandall pushes the box to no avail. He runs and pushes the box, Barabbas's feet visible in the small gap between it and the floor as it enters the elevator. Crandall covers his mouth.
Beg your pardon. Watched the Late Late Show last night. Didn't get much sleep.
His landlady shrugs and looks away. As Mrs. Formby turns sharply, Crandall mimes yawning. She stares at him wide-eyed. Crandall gives her a nervous smile, then turns away. The elevator opens and the women step out. As Barabbas's wagging tail sticks out of the box, Crandall sits on it, hiding the tail.
Aren't you coming out, Mr. Crandall?
Yeah, no, I just remembered that I forgot to remember something in my car.
The elevator closes.
Does he always act like that?
Well, I must confess that heretofore, I've always considered him a fairly normal individual. Still, as a landlady, I've learned that one can never be too sure.
She unlocks the door to apartment 2D and enters with Miss Lawrence. Later, Crandall brings the box into an apartment and takes it off of Barabbas.
You know, if I had any sense at all, I'd leave this thing on you. What are you trying to do? Get us tossed out of the building?
He places the box in a closet.
And don't try to make up. We may be stuck with each other, but we don't have to be friends.
Entering the kitchen, he opens the fridge and Barabbas hurries over.
You'll eat when I do and not before. You'd better like pepperoni pizza.
He places a pizza in the oven and turns a knob. Barabbas strolls around a kitchen counter.
Why don't you go over and lay down for a while? You've had a busy day.
Ambling over to a door, the St. Bernard pushes it open with a snout and peers in. Barabbas steps back, then slowly climbs onto a striped sofa sitting beside the door. Walking across it, he settles down with his head and forelegs on cushions propped up against an armrest. Barabbas suddenly gets off the sofa. He approaches a glass door and swipes a paw against it, sliding it open. Squeezing through, the St. Bernard walks onto a balcony and sniffs an open bag of charcoal near a barbecue. He ambles over to a low wall, its top lined with plants. Propping himself up, Barabbas sticks his head through the plants and gazes into the neighboring apartment, in which Miss Lawrence unpacks clothes from a suitcase. She heads into a bedroom, and Barabbas hops over the wall and onto her balcony, then enters her apartment through an open door. He walks among boxes and cases sitting on the floor, then dips his head into an open carton before withdrawing it. In her bedroom, Miss Lawrence slips a yellow jacket onto a clothes hanger. In the living room, Barabbas grabs a ball of pink yarn in his mouth and trots out to the balcony. A thread trailing from the yarn leads to a knit garment, which unravels as the dog crosses over into Crandall's balcony, then enters his apartment. While Miss Lawrence grabs a hanger and another piece of clothing, Barabbas plays around with the ball of yarn in Crandall's apartment, unspooling it all over the carpeted floor. Tangled strands of the pink thread cover Barabbas as he holds one end in his mouth. Crandall lays out plates, not noticing his dog.
Stay out of trouble for a few minutes. Dinner's almost ready. St. Bernard, my luck. Why couldn't you have been something small like a poodle?
As Barabbas continues yanking at the yarn with his teeth, Crandall turns and sees the mess, then places his hands on his hips.
All right, where'd you steal that?
Panting, Barabbas gazes at him with big eyes.
Okay, if that's your attitude, no dinner until I find out.
Bending down, Crandall picks up the yarn, then straightens and gathers it in his hands. Meanwhile, Miss Lawrence walks into her living room, frowning as she notices the partly unraveled garment on the floor. Her mouth agape, she picks it up, then follows the trailing thread out onto her balcony. Across the low dividing wall, Crandall does the same, and the two come face to face.
Oh, hi. Hi. I was just coming over to,
Don't tell me. Don't tell me, let me guess. You were coming over to get the knitting needles that you forgot when you took my sweater.
Your sweater?
Yes, my sweater. At least it was my sweater 10 minutes ago. Say, who are you anyway? The neighborhood practical joker?
You actually think that I took it?
Who else?
Crandall holds Barabbas down.
You've got it all wrong. I had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all.
Is that a fact? I suppose you're going to tell me that this ball of yarn just rolled over in your balcony all by itself, right?
Of course not. Actually, no matter how it happened, I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
I just don't know what else to say.
Well, I do. The next time you have the irresistible urge to borrow my knitting, at least have the decency to knock on my door. Not that I'd ever open it to a kook like you.
She storms into her apartment and Barabbas watches. Later, he sits in Crandall's kitchen.
Now listen, Barabbas, that's where you sleep. And so help me, if I hear one peep out of you, I'll... Nah, forget it.
Wearing a blue robe over his pajamas, Crandall turns off a light, then heads into his bedroom and shuts the door. Barabbas hops onto the kitchen counter, then jumps off and slowly pushes the bedroom door open. He ambles in stealthily, then hops onto the bed and settles down right beside Crandall, plopping his massive head down on the reporter's. Waking up, Crandall pushes Barabbas, who doesn't budge.
Oh, no, you don't. Said you're sleeping in the kitchen. Now move. About time you learn who's boss around here. Now move, back to the kitchen.
Crandall closes his dog's mouth.
Quiet, you crazy mutt. Want to get us both evicted? That's better. Now, beat it. Scram.
He resumes pushing Barabbas.
Okay. You win. You can sleep here. I'll sleep in the kitchen. Yeah, on the living room sofa.
He gets out of bed, then stops at the door and looks back.
4 million stray dogs in this country, and I had to get stuck with you.
He heads out, and Barabbas stretches his forelegs, his head resting on a pillow. Daytime. The K-Pay chopper flies over an urban area. As Crandall pilots, Barabbas sits beside him, gazing out of the craft's full-length curved windshield. The reporter fixes a mic to the dashboard.
Hi out there in freeway land. This is Jack Crandall in the K-Pay helicopter with my new co-pilot, Barabbas. Say good morning, Barabbas.
He holds out the mic.
Go on, say good morning.
Barabbas bites down on the mic. In the control room, the bespectacled technician turns to his colleague.
Sorry about the interruption, folks, but my co-pilot stole the mic. Well, the freeway situation...
Barabbas tugs the mic's cable.
The freeway situation seems to be
Crandall struggles to keep hold of the mic.
As I was saying, the freeway situation seems to...
Yeah, I'm afraid, folks, we're having a slight problem in communication.
What does he mean, slight problem? It sounds like his tonsils are on a roller coaster.
The helicopter sways as it flies over an expressway.
Look, will you shut up for a while so I can try to earn your dog biscuits?
With lines like that, he sounds like he's getting pretty desperate.
Why not? The dog is getting all the fan mail.
Two women wear headsets.
Thank you, madam.
Yes, sir, it really is a St. Bernard.
K-Pay. That's right.
K-Pay.
Barabbas, named after the thief in the Bible.
Oh, about 200 pounds before feeding time.
Good morning, K-Pay.
Thank you, sir. Very glad you enjoy the
program. I'm sorry, madam, but the dog is not permitted to endorse K-Pay. Political candidates.
Just a moment, sir. Mr. Applegate, Mr. Pfeiffer, Grofast Dog Foods.
Oh, yeah, Pfeiffer. Yeah, well, I'll take it in my office.
He'll be right with you, sir.
In the helicopter.
Excuse the confusion, folks, but the morning foul-up's starting a little early today, especially up here. Now then, below me, traffic is already building up along the Metropolitan Freeway.
Barabbas yanks the mic's cable, which is looped around Crandall's neck.
I can... Sorry, folks, but he got the mic cord around my neck, sort of choking the hand that feeds him.
All right, be patient, will you?
Meanwhile, the clean-shaven man listens to a radio. The mustache man glares.
I told her to turn that off.
Wearing gray coveralls, the clean-shaven man lowers the radio from his ear with a frown. Dressed similarly, his accomplice opens a wall safe in a lavish house and retrieves a black jewelry box. He opens it to reveal a sparkling diamond necklace, and the two thieves exchange a look. Wide-eyed, the clean-shaven man puts the necklace in a red flask while his partner returns the box to the safe, which he locks and covers with a painting. Closing the flask, the clean-shaven man places it in a lunchbox, then carries it as he follows his partner away. In a jewelry store, Travell faces a woman.
Don't you agree, Mrs. Carruthers? A ring which will perfectly reflect the exquisite taste of its possessor.
Thank you.
For you, sir, on your private line.
Please forgive me.
Of course.
He answers a phone.
Travell speaking.
This is one of your suppliers, Mr. Travell. That special merchandise you ordered is ready for delivery.
Very good. Bring it over immediately.
Okay.
The thieves nod.
I'll take it.
That's a very wise decision. A rare bargain at $2,000, made possible only, I might add, by my own unique purchasing methods.
Meanwhile, flying the helicopter over an expressway, Crandall spots a pileup on the road. Barabbas swipes his paw against the passenger side door.
Yes, folks, there's an overturned vehicle on the outbound lanes of the Metropolitan Freeway just west of Moraga. Quiet, Barabbas, this is important.
In the thief's car, the mustache man drives.
On the freeway just west of Moraga Drive. It's starting to look like a parking lot down there, folks, so if you're headed that way, turn off at Indian Avenue and take the old road for about 3 miles.
That's it, the next exit.
Okay, we'll turn off, like he says.
Will you shut up? The only ones who have a right to howl are the people caught in that traffic jam.
That dog is a panic. The flyboy is doing us a real public service. I'm almost tempted to cut the boat the minute it takes.
The driver scowls in the chopper.
So to all of you out there in freeway land, this is Jack Crandall and my co-pilot Barabbas saying, happy driving, everyone. And what got into you all of a sudden?
Barabbas scratches the door.
Forget it, will you? Even if I did open the door, that first step's a dilly.
Barabbas swipes at the door with his forepaws.
Come on, what is it?
Following the dog's gaze, Crandall spots a lone tree standing on barren ground. He eyes the St. Bernard incredulously.
You've got to be kidding.
Barabbas turns to Crandall, who shakes his head.
Okay, you win. The thing some guys will do to keep a crummy job.
He pushes the control stick forward, and the helicopter slowly descends. It gently touches down on the ground beside the tree. Crandall opens the passenger side door, and Barabbas hops out.
Just hurry it up, okay?
Meanwhile, in the thief's car, the clean-shaven man opens the lunchbox, and his mustached accomplice glances over.
Hey, what are you doing? Leave that necklace where it is.
Who's after the necklace? I'm hungry.
He unwraps a sandwich.
Hey, liverwurst! Don't ask me why, but I gotta think about liverwurst, you know. Like, some guys gotta think about salami.
The car jostles violently, and the driver pulls over to the side of the dirt road. Stepping outside along with his partner, he eyes the car's flat left rear tire.
Hey, get the jack.
Nearby, Barabbas emerges from a thicket of bushes and spots the lunchbox in the car through an open door. He ambles over to the sedan as the mustached man works on the flat tire.
Hiya, fellow. What's the matter, lost? Ever tell you how to think about dogs?
Yeah, you told me. 100 times you told me. Now knock it off and...
Barabbas grabs the box and walks off.
Ain't that cute the way he's carrying that lunchbox?
Lunchbox.
The mustache man's eyes go wide.
He's got the necklace! Come on, you mutt!
The thieves run after Barabbas.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, where you going with that?
Drop it!
Where'd he go?
Barabbas stops among bushes.
I think he went up the hill.
Why would he go uphill?
All dogs go up a hill.
Come on, we'll try over there.
They hurry off and Barabbas trots away without the lunchbox. The thieves run by a thicket of bushes where the lunchbox sits in shade. Meanwhile, Barabbas arrives at the helicopter and hops in.
Okay, about time you showed up. Come on.
As the thieves run through dry shrubs, the helicopter takes off. Pushing down the leafy branches of a bush, the two watch the craft rising higher with Barabbas sitting by the windshield.
Imagine that, training a dog to pull a heist. Genius, that's pure genius.
You're trying to tell me that guy set this whole thing up?
He's directing traffic, ain't he?
Yeah. And he directed us into a perfect trap.
Now the thieves stand in Travell's office.
Do you really expect me to believe that a dog stole $250,000 necklace?
Oh, he was no ordinary dog. You see, I know a little bit about dogs.
It's the truth, Mr. Travell. That mutt headed straight for the lunchbox.
Are you seriously suggesting that this helicopter pilot planned the whole thing?
Yes, Mr. Travell.
He must have known exactly when we were going to make the hit. Then he decided to cut himself in on it.
How could he have known that?
Somebody must have talked.
Who?
The mustache man glares at his partner.
Look, Mr. Travell, I know what you're thinking. But just ask yourself one question. If we was trying to pull a fast one on you, would we come back here and tell you about it? Oh, no. We'd be halfway out of the state by now.
Fortunately for you, that possibility has occurred to me. However, due to your carelessness, this helicopter pilot got the necklace, and you'd better get it back.
Because if you don't, I assure you,
you'll never get halfway out of this or any other state.
The two thieves trade a worried look, then head off. Later, at the Valley Airport, the Kaipei helicopter lands on the tarmac. Nearby, the thieves exit their sedan.
We'll grab him when he gets into the hangar.
Crandall and Barabbas get out of the helicopter. Holding a gift-wrapped package, Applegate approaches them, followed by an elderly man and two photographers.
Oh, wait right there, Barabbas.
Hold it.
The thieves stop.
Witnesses we don't need.
Crandall, this is Mr. Growfast. Mr. Pfeiffer, I'm Growfast, and this is Jack Crandall, who's our pilot.
How do you do, sir?
So you're the little fellow who caused all the excitement yesterday. I must say, you're a fine-looking specimen.
And you know why, Mr. Pfeiffer? It's because he was fed almost exclusively on grow-fast dog food. Isn't that right, Crandall?
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that, sir.
You wouldn't exactly have to say anything. I mean, we'll leave that up to the man who writes the commercials.
Remember, I haven't signed anything yet, Applegate.
Oh, I know that, Mr. Pfeiffer. In the meantime, here's a little present for your future star. That's a brandy cask. It says Grow Fast on it, see? The public expects St. Bernards to wear brandy casks, and who are we to disappoint the public? Why don't you put it on? It'll make a nice picture, you putting it on.
Well.
Get a nice picture, Mr. Pfeiffer, boys. Putting it on. That's it. There we go. Step aside, Crandall.
Mr. That's Pfeiffer fixes a red cask to Barabbas's collar, then shakes his paw.
What a beautiful mutt. I bet he takes a great picture.
Yeah, and if you get any closer, you'll be in it.
The clean-shaven man steps back toward his partner. Later, Crandall drives his car down a street with its white soft top raised, then turns toward his apartment building. Moments later, he pulls into a vacant spot in a covered parking area, then gets out. Outdoors, the two thieves climb out of their car parked by a sidewalk, then cross the street. Crandall takes the large cardboard box from a storage unit while Barabbas watches from the car.
Quiet. You want to ruin everything?
He opens the door and Barabbas hops out. The thieves observe through a window.
Now stand still.
Crandall places the box over Barabbas.
Yeah, good boy, Barabbas. Looks like you're beginning to like this.
What's he trying to do, gift-wrap the mutt?
After the stunt he pulled on us, nothing this guy does would surprise me.
Crandall grabs a paper bag.
Here we go, Barabbas.
He leads the covered dog away.
You stop him and ask him something. I'll clip him from behind.
The thieves hide as Mrs. Formby arrives.
Oh, Mr. Crandall, did you see a dog around as you drove up?
In Valley Garden Apartments? I thought they were strictly prohibited.
Nevertheless, I distinctly heard one barking, not to mention the fact that poor dear Cleopatra's nose has been running all night.
Couldn't it be just an ordinary cold?
An ordinary cold after what I discovered this morning in the trash can? Exhibit A, Mr. Crandall. A knuckle bone, and very well gnawed.
She shakes the bone near Barabbas's box.
Where the smoke, there's fire, and where there are bones, there are dogs.
By golly, you're right. It is a knuckle bone.
Of course I'm right. I shall root out the wretched beast and its despicable owner wherever they are. Don't tell me you're still carrying around your eiderdown quilt.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'd be lost without it. You have no idea how cold it gets in that helicopter at times.
He leaves while she searches around.
What do we do now? We wait. No witnesses, remember? And first, we gotta find us a spot to keep an eye on Crandall.
In the building, an elevator opens and Miss Lawrence steps out, carrying a large paper bag with leafy vegetables sticking out from it. At her apartment, she unlocks the door, then glances down and breaks into a bright smile. Bending down, she picks up a brown and gold ice bucket holding a glass bottle secured by a gold ribbon. Beaming, she carries it into her apartment, then sets it down on a kitchen counter along with the grocery bag. Gold foil covers the top of the bottle. Taking a purse off her arm, Miss Lawrence sets it down, then slips a small envelope off the bottle's neck. Opening it, she takes out a card with a handwritten message. Truce? Let's drink to it. Your friendly neighborhood kook. Smiling dreamily, she places the card down, takes off the ribbon, then picks up the bucket and carries it to her balcony. Meanwhile, Crandall climbs onto a side table beside his balcony and peers through the glass door, smiling as he sees his neighbor placing the bucket on a small outdoor table. Ambling over to the balcony door, Barabbas pants as he watches Miss Lawrence head away. A few moments later, she returns with two glasses and places them beside the bucket. Crandall smiles as she turns the bottle slightly in the bucket before walking away again. He scampers across his sofa and into his bedroom. In her apartment, Miss Lawrence strolls into her bedroom and sits at a vanity mirror, then applies mascara to her eyelashes. Next door, Crandall takes out a brown suit jacket from his closet, then a tan one. Meanwhile, the thieves climb out a window and onto a fire escape.
Dude, that must be the apartment there.
They see Barabbas stepping onto the balcony.
Oh, yeah, I know that dog anywhere.
In the building across from the thieves, Barabbas crosses the balcony and sticks his head through the plants on the low dividing wall, seeing the bottle sticking out of the ice bucket.
Oh,
panting, Barabbas hops over the wall, puts his forepaws on the patio table, then grabs the bottle in his mouth and carries it away. The thieves watch him make his way back into Crandall's apartment.
How do you like that? He keeps the dog in practice by having him steal things from the neighbors.
Lying down on a carpet, Barabbas chews off the gold foil covering the bottle's top. Its cork pops open and a foamy beverage shoots out. Meanwhile, facing a mirror, Crandall runs an electric shaver over his cheeks. In the living room, Barabbas laps up the beverage spilling from the bottle and soaking the carpet. Next door, Miss Lawrence applies the finishing touches to her makeup, then heads off. In the neighboring apartment, Crandall switches off the shaver. He turns around. Miss Lawrence carries a plate of food to her patio table, then does a double take as she notices the missing bottle.
That does it.
Crandall sees Barabbas lying beside the bottle.
That absolutely does it. Being a thief isn't bad enough. You have to be a lush, too. Oh, great. Just a minute. Come on, into the closet.
Holding the bottle, he drags Barabbas while his neighbor rings the doorbell. On his knees, Crandall pushes his dog into the closet.
Get in there.
He gets to his feet.
Be quiet.
Grabbing the bottle, he shuts the closet, then answers the door.
Well, Mr. Crandall, what have you got to say about that?
Oh, this? Great little champagne, a terrific bouquet. You ought to try it sometime.
I thought that was a general idea. I was even stupid enough to think I'd ask you all to try it with me. But no, the neighborhood kook here had to play his little games again.
Yo, but I wasn't. Honestly, it's not the way it looks.
Miss Lawrence widens her eyes.
What was that?
What was what?
She eyes the closet door suspiciously. She steps toward it.
You shouldn't open that door, Miss Lawrence. Really, you shouldn't.
Excuse me.
Moving him aside, she opens the closet and finds Barabbas lying on his side.
He took the champagne?
Uh-huh.
And I suppose my bottle of wool, too.
Great, so.
And you've been acting like a nut just to cover for the dog.
I know it sounds stupid, but there didn't seem to be anything else I could do.
Well, you could have told me the truth and saved us both a lot of trouble. I love dogs.
You do? I wish I'd known that before. I was afraid you might sound off to Sarah the Snoop and I lose 3 months' rent. I just lost 3 months' rent.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Open the door, Mr. Crandall.
Come on. Open up, or I shall be forced to use my passkey. Get in the... Okay.
She shuts the closet and Crandall opens the door for Mrs. Formby, who marches in.
All right. Where is it?
Where's what, Mrs. Formby?
I distinctly heard a dog barking in this apartment.
A dog in this apartment?
That's right, you did. On the TV.
But the TV isn't on.
No, I just turned it off.
That's why it took him so long to answer the door.
Am I to understand that you deny that I heard a dog barking in this apartment?
He doesn't have to. You see, I've been here for a while, and if there was a dog, I'd certainly know about it, wouldn't I?
The landlady sniffs around the kitchen, then enters Crandall's bedroom. She turns sharply.
What is that?
That was me. You know how it is when you drink champagne too quickly, all those tiny little bubbles rushing down your throat.
Well, now I'm doing it, too. I guess we've both been drinking too quickly.
If you ask me, anyone who drinks champagne in the middle of the day deserves to have hiccups. I never have.
She faces him haughtily.
And I never will.
She leaves. Miss Lawrence and her neighbor glance at the closet, then trade a grin. Crandall opens the door, revealing Barabbas lying on the floor.
Oh, the poor thing.
He slides his paws along the floor.
Mrs. Formby may have a point. Champagne in the middle of the day isn't good for dogs either.
Barabbas staggers onto the living room carpet, then crawls onto a lounge chair.
Well, I guess you'll just have to let him sleep it off.
Not enough time. He's got a radio date to meet this afternoon.
Him?
Well, as a matter of fact, we do traffic reports together.
Oh, you're not the fellow in
I'm afraid so. But I won't be unless I get my star sobered up by curtain time.
How about black coffee and aspirin?
Exercise. That's what he needs. Good, hearty exercise. Come on, Barabbas, wake up. That's better. Now open them wider. Now, Barabbas, wake up.
I don't think he's very interested in exercise right now.
Now, Barabbas, we're going for a nice long run in the park. That's one's better. Now open the other one.
Barabbas opens an eye.
Oh, Barabbas, pull yourself together. You're going to the park if I have to carry you myself.
It looks like you'll need some help.
Care to join us?
Okay. I mean, after all, technically it was my champagne and, I do feel kind of responsible. I'll leave you to get your star up on its feet. Pick me up when you're ready.
Great. How about 10 minutes?
That'll be fine.
On the fire escape.
Maybe he'll go out soon, and then we can go search the place.
That's no good. He ain't dumb enough to leave the necklace laying around the apartment.
Meanwhile.
Cheer up, Barabbas. I've got a present for you. Your license just came. From now on, you're legal. Outside of this apartment, at least.
With the thieves.
Well, we know he hasn't fenced it yet, so he's got to have it there somewhere.
Look.
They see Crandall putting something in a container.
So what?
He put something in the cask.
Did you see what it was?
Are you kidding? I know what it was. It was the necklace. It had to be the necklace.
There you go with your wild ideas again. Why would he do that?
Because it's the perfect hiding place. They may search his apartment. They may search him. But who would think of searching a St. Bernard?
The mustached man's eyes widen.
Nobody. Nobody but you. You know, for a dummy, sometimes you ain't so dumb.
The clean-shaven man smiles, then frowns thoughtfully and eyes his partner before shrugging. Later, Crandall exits his apartment with the cardboard box covering Barabbas. The dog's paws move unsteadily as Crandall leads him to his neighbor's door.
To me, 2C.
Oh, come on in. It's open.
In her bedroom, Miss Lawrence fixes her hair.
I've made us a fast cup of coffee. It's on the counter. Will you pour it?
Sure thing. Sugar or cream?
Just a little and none at all.
I was just thinking, have you ever been up in a helicopter?
No, never.
Well, would you like to go up with me this afternoon?
I'd love to, but you think it'd be all right?
I don't see why not. If a St. Bernard can smuggle himself on board, I think I can smuggle you.
Oh, great.
Here's to your maiden flight.
As they drink coffee, Barabbas swipes at the front door until it opens. Moments later, an elevator opens and a woman walks out. With the box covering him, Barabbas totters into the elevator. On another floor, a man waits for an elevator holding several packages that stack up to his eyes. The elevator opens and the man walks in, not noticing the cardboard box as Barabbas creeps out under it. The clean-shaven man looks around a corner.
The mutt!
And he's all alone.
The two thieves usher the box toward the door to the parking area.
Come on, let's go.
Will you be quiet?
Will you be careful? There are people around here.
Come on.
Will you push? Come on.
Will you handle your end? Push.
They haul Barabbas into the parking area. Upstairs, Miss Lawrence sets down her cup.
Well, I suppose we should be going. Say, how do you get Barabbas back and forth without Mrs. Formby seeing him?
That's what the box is for.
The box?
The one over...
Crandall spies the open door.
Here we go again.
They hurry away. Downstairs.
Not his car, our car. Come on, let's get with it. Oh, come on, baby, come on.
They struggle to move the box.
Okay, just let's quit wasting time. I'll just take this thing off and grab the cask.
Wait a minute, let me do it. I told you, I know about dogs.
The clean-shaven thief lifts the box. He drops it. In a hallway.
In the carport.
Mrs. Formby joins them.
So you heard it too?
Heard what?
We didn't hear anything. I know it's up here.
Someone's coming.
The thieves hurry off. Bursting in with their landlady, Crandall and Miss Lawrence spot the box lying flush on the ground, then smile. The thieves watch through a window.
Well, I'm afraid he's run away, Mrs. Formby.
And will you please not leave your eiderdown quilt lying around? I will not have clutter in my carport.
She marches back into the building, and the neighbors trade a grin. Outside, the clean-shaven thief draws a handgun.
Not here, stupid.
But we can't back off now.
We're not backing off. They're going out, and we're going to follow them.
Later, Miss Lawrence rides shotgun as Crandall stops his convertible outside a park. They get out and look at the back seat.
Okay, Barabbas. Sober up time. Hop out.
The bleary-eyed dog glances over.
I don't think he can hear you with all that buzzing in his head.
Well, they'd better start moving fast or we'll never make it.
Barabbas sticks his tongue out, then closes his eyes.
We'll never make it.
Don't bet on that. He's a sucker for this.
Crandall holds out a tennis ball.
Here, boy. See? Fetch it, boy. Fetch it.
He throws it into the park, and Barabbas slides into the gap between the car's seats. Miss Lawrence smiles while Crandall frowns.
Look, old buddy, it's the only way. You have to run it off. I'll help you, okay? Okay, now, ready, set, go!
He runs into the park, then stops. A little boy holds up the ball.
Lost your ball, mister?
Thanks.
Taking it, Crandall heads back to the car.
All right, Barabbas, if that's the way you want it, stay here by yourself and we'll go for a nice walk without you.
And don't try to follow us. You had your chance and you blew it.
Tossing the ball in the car, Crandall accompanies Miss Lawrence into the park. Barabbas sticks his head over the car door and watches them.
Is it working?
Not yet.
As they stroll away, Barabbas sits up, the red cask attached to his collar. Miss Lawrence glances back.
Okay.
As they stroll onward, Barabbas slowly pushes himself over the car door. He totters slowly after the couple on a path running through the park. Lifting his rear legs up high with each step, the St. Bernard closes in on them. Behind him, the thieves' sedan pulls to a stop behind Crandall's car. The thieves get out and amble into the park, the mustached man holding a coil of rope in his hands. Up ahead, Barabbas catches up to Crandall and Miss Lawrence, who gaze at each other.
Of course, there's not much future in designing sunsuits in 6 feet of snow, so I left Idaho and I came out here to set the world on fire with casuals by Kim.
I'm impressed. Any luck so far?
I start Monday at Playtown Sportswear. As a receptionist, but at least it's a beginning.
The couple strolls down the winding path and turns out of view behind a thicket, while Barabbas remains still. Turning to the side, he ambles into a bush and settles down in a shaded patch of grass. Nearby, the thieves part the branches of a plant.
Okay, you got a thing about dogs, so go do it. Grab the cask.
It's like taking candy from a baby.
Smiling, the clean-shaven man approaches Barabbas, who lies on his stomach. He kneels beside the dog.
Nice doggy, that's a baby. Come on, let me have the cask. Where's the...
He tries in vain to lift the dog's head.
Move your head a little bit, huh?
His hands slide and raise Barabbas' ears instead.
Will you pick your head up?
As he strains, Barabbas' head remains in place. Seething, the thief tries again.
Move your head just a little bit. That's it. And get off of it. I gotta get it off of you. I can't.
His partner observes disappointedly.
Nice doggy.
As Barabbas sits up aggressively, the thief sprints back to his partner.
Like candy from a baby, huh? Look out.
Stepping forward carefully, the mustached man tosses one end of the rope and lassos Barabbas around the neck. The dog stands.
I got him! Whoa!
Barabbas runs, pulling the thief along through a dense thicket while his partner chases them. Meanwhile, Crandall and Miss Lawrence walk past a playground where kids play on swings and climbing frames.
And then, right at the height of the artichoke season, I caught a wingtip on a high-tension wire. And that was the end of my crop dusting business.
Were you hurt?
Only in the wallet.
Oh.
But the plane was a total loss.
They leave, and Barabbas runs out of a thicket on the other end. Still holding the rope, the mustache man runs along until he crashes into a climbing frame. Barabbas stops, and just as the other thief picks up the rope, breaks into a run. He trots across a seesaw, lifting one end up. The thief runs into it and hugs it as he gets slammed to the ground. Barabbas shakes the lasso off his neck. The little boy and a girl approach the thief.
Quick, mister! Will you do that again? My little sister didn't see it.
Scowling, the thief gets to his feet while the kids trade a smile. Barabbas dashes off. Elsewhere.
To think that it might have been weeks before we got together.
If your dog hadn't started everything by stealing my wool.
You know, for the first time, I'm glad Barabbas was a thief.
Barabbas emerges from a bush and follows them. Now, the K-Pay helicopter flies over a freeway interchange. Inside, Miss Lawrence sits in the passenger seat while Crandall pilots with the mic in one hand.
And so, to all of you out there in freeway land, this is Jack Crandall and his co-pilot Barabbas saying...
He moves the mic to Barabbas.
Come on, say something.
She rubs Barabbas' head and he raises it, then lies back down.
Saying, happy driving, everyone. Well, it wasn't his liveliest performance, but I suppose it'll get by. How do you like it up here?
It's just great.
Down below, traffic flows along freeways.
I don't mind traveling a freeway like this at all.
You've got all the protection in the world. An eighth of an inch of solid plexiglass.
Very comforting.
She shifts back.
You know, I wish I could stay up here forever.
Well, why don't you? You're much better company than Barabbas.
Thanks. But I have to start to work on Monday.
Oh, yeah, playtime sportswear, isn't it?
Good, you remembered. How about you?
Me? Oh, on Monday, I suppose I'll still be chauffeuring this big lug around.
For how long?
Till they get bored with the new gimmick down in freeway land.
And then?
Well, something will turn up. Say, why do women always worry about the future?
Oh, don't you?
Not very often. The present's all right, it's fine with me. And at the moment, come to think of it, it's just great.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, I sort of feel the same way myself.
They beam at each other. In the back, Barabbas yawns. As the couple looks back at him, Barabbas lies down. At night, Crandall drives his car with the top down. He parks by a sidewalk and gets out with Miss Lawrence, leaving Barabbas in the back seat.
Okay, Barabbas. Stay put and we'll get you some dinner. I know, hold the pickles.
As Miss Lawrence takes his arm, they cross the street and enter a diner.
Hi.
We'll have 2 cups of coffee, 2 donuts, and 15 raw hamburgers, please.
2 coffees, 2 donuts, and...
The server eyes them.
Did you say 15 rare hamburgers?
No, 15 raw hamburgers. And by the way, you can forget the buns.
Wearing a stunned expression, the server heads off, and the two exchange a smile. Outside, a pickup truck with a camper attached to its bed drives past Crandall's car. The mustached man stops the vehicle, and his partner gets out.
This time we can't miss. We got Mother Nature on our side.
Walking to the back of the camper, he opens its door, revealing a white St. Bernard with brown patches on its face and a blue bow on its head. As Barabbas looks over, the dog raises her head. Running over, Barabbas leaps into the camper and the thief shuts the door, then joins his partner, who drives off. Later, Crandall and Miss Lawrence exit the diner with paper bags.
Thanks a lot. Night.
They stroll to the convertible.
Here you are, Barabbas. Chow down. Come and...
Where is he?
Crandall looks around.
Barabbas! Barabbas! This is no time for him to go over the hill. Barabbas!
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 Elsewhere, as Barabbas lies beside the other dog, a hand reaches for his cask.
Easy boy. You take it easy. Yeah, nice doggy, nice.
The mustache man removes and opens it.
I can't wait to see the expression on Travell's face when he looks in there and says...
It's a dog license.
A dog license. A what? There's got to be something else in there.
You and your cockamamie ideas. First we heist this camper, then we steal another mutt, and all for what?
That Crandall is trickier than we thought he was, that's all. I told you I had a thing about him.
You get a thing about a lot of things, and I am sick and tired of hearing about him. Now you just shut up and let me think, because we need an idea, and fast.
Why don't you call Travell? I bet he got an idea.
I'll bet he would. Like putting his boat 6 feet under.
As the clean-shaven man nods, a look of realization dawns on his face. Now in an apartment, Miss Lawrence sleeps with one hand on a phone. She startles awake to see Crandall.
I'm sorry to startle you.
Sorry, I was just dozing. Any luck?
I must have searched every street and alley between here and the hamburger place.
He sits on his sofa.
I even checked with my mechanic at the airport.
He checks his watch.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock. How about you? Any calls?
Mr. Applegate. 4 times.
Applegate?
He left a message. Mr. Pfeiffer of Growfast will be in Applegate's office to hear your morning broadcast.
Oh, great. And I suppose the whole deal depends on how Barabbas does.
Exactly. Mr. Applegate says, and I quote, "Make sure Barabbas gets plenty of sleep, because we want him at his best, chock full of personality. Otherwise, Crandall will be fresh out of a job."
Kim, do you believe in miracles?
Of course I do. Don't you?
Well, tune in my broadcast in about 3 hours, because you're going to hear it dilly.
Later, Kim sits by a radio.
Hi out there. This is the KPA Morning Air Watch with yours truly, Jack Crandall, and as usual, my co-pilot, Barabbas the St. Bernard.
Kim cracks a smile.
That's enough, Barabbas. Now, folks, for the traffic picture.
In the chopper, Crandall barks.
Will you shut up? They don't want to hear you all the time. I'm part of the program, too, you know.
Crandall dons a sorrowful expression.
Oh, stop crying. I can't stand it.
In his office, Applegate faces a wall speaker.
Okay, okay. Folks, Barabbas will now do his barking bit, and then we can get on with the program.
Meanwhile, Applegate turns to Mr. Pfeiffer.
Listen to him. 220 pounds of walking advertisement, and it could all be for Grow Fast dog food. Just sign on the last
Not page. So fast, Applegate. How do I know that a flying dog will have any real impact on the buying public? If I'm going to spend a fortune on this campaign, I want something more tangible to go on.
In the chopper.
Well, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. And to make it up to you, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask all your friends down there to give you a great big hello. How would you like that? How about it, folks? Everybody who wants to give Barabbas a great big hello, just give a toot in your horn. Real loud now so we can hear you all the way up here.
Mr. Pfeiffer glances sharply at Applegate, who hurries to a window and opens it. He gazes at a busy freeway, then turns.
How's that, Mr. Pfeiffer? How's that for an impact on the buying public? You could say they're playing our song.
Smiling, Mr. Pfeiffer picks up a pen and signs the contract. Grinning, Applegate nods. Now, sitting at a desk, Crandall answers a phone.
Crandall.
Nice try, Crandall, but you won't be able to keep it up.
Who is this?
Sooner or later, they're going to find out that there's no dog. And a grown man making funny dog noises ain't no great kick to anybody.
Well, what makes you think there's no dog?
This.
In a hotel room, the mustache thief lowers the phone receiver to Barabbas and twists his ear.
Barabbas? Well, where'd you find him?
That don't matter. What does matter is how much you're willing to pay to get him back.
Well, naturally, I'll pay a reasonable reward.
Like $250,000?
Quarter of a million? What is this, some kind of a put-on?
$250,000 is what the necklace is worth.
Necklace? What necklace?
The Cosgrove necklace that you heisted from us.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
Quit playing games, Crandall. You set the whole thing up so that we did all the dirty work at the Cosgrove mansion and you lapped up the gravy. Okay. Well, now it's our turn. You've got till exactly 12 noon today to return that necklace to where you hijacked it. Oh, we killed a dog.
But where am I supposed to hide? Hello? Help.
Wearing a confused frown, Crandall hangs up. Now a building sign reads Police Station 16. Inside, Crandall approaches an officer at a counter. A suited man sits at a desk behind him.
Yes, sir?
I want to report a missing dog.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't handle missing dogs. Have you tried the pound?
No, you don't understand. The dog was kidnapped. Someone just phoned me for the ransom.
Oh. Oh, well, that's different. Huh. Name?
Barabbas. He's a St. Bernard.
Not the dog's name, sir. Yours.
Oh, Crandall. Jack Crandall.
Jack Crandall.
The suited man comes over.
Your address, Mr. Crandall?
Valley Garden Apartments.
Aren't you the fellow from the Air Watch?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, Mr. Crandall, how long has the dog been missing?
Since last night.
Are you sure about that, Mr. Crandall?
Of course I'm sure.
Then how come I just heard the dog up in the air with you only a half hour ago?
You didn't. Yeah, that is, you did, but you really didn't, because the dog you thought you heard really was me.
The policemen stare at Crandall. The officer crosses his arms.
You've got to believe me. They said they'd kill him if I didn't hand over the Cosgrove necklace by noon today.
The Cosgrove necklace?
The one they stole from the Cosgrove mansion. Now do you believe me?
Of course we do. Except for one small detail, we haven't had any report that a Cosgrove necklace was stolen.
But it must have been. I mean, what reason would I have to come in here with some preposterous story like that unless...
Unless you expected us to buy it. Then we tell the press you get a page one spread and more people tune in.
Now, look.
No, you look, Mr. Crandall. There are two ways we can handle this. You can either leave right now and we'll forget the whole thing, or you can stay and I will personally book you for making a false crime report.
Raising a finger, Crandall opens his mouth as if to speak, then glances away from the stern policeman and lowers his hand. Now the thieves stand with Travell in his office.
Of course Crandall didn't show up. It's preposterous even to think that anyone would pay a quarter of a million for a dog.
Well, I read once where some old dame paid $10,000 for Gussie the poodle.
You, for once, just shut up.
It's a lot of loot to pay for a poodle.
Look, Mr. Travell, we're real sorry about this. We tried to get that necklace back. Believe me, we tried real hard.
Mr. Travell eyes the mustache man.
But you failed. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, yes.
That's enough, McClure!
From now on, you're going to do it my way. And I only hope I can still get that necklace back. For your sake. As well as mine.
He reads sheets of paper. Now in Crandall's apartment, Kim picks up a jug.
Your coffee's ready.
Thanks.
Can I fix you a sandwich or something?
Oh, no, thanks. Just not hungry.
Crandall sits.
Funny, when I found Barabbas, the last thing I wanted was a dog. Any kind of dog. But I went along with it because I had to. To keep my job. Now the job doesn't seem important anymore. All I want is that big lug back safe and sound.
Kim smiles kindly. Crandall hurries to the phone.
Hello?
Mr. Jack Crandall, please.
Speaking.
Mr. Crandall, I have some pleasant news for you. I just found your dog. Or better still, he found me.
Yeah, Barabbas, are you sure?
Unless the dog pound gave me the wrong information. I checked his license and...
How is he? Is he all right?
Yes, he seems perfectly fit to me. He is a little bit winded. He was chased by two rather tough-looking men when he ran into my yard.
If you'll just give me your address, I'll come right over and pick him up, sir.
280 Homeward Road. Just drive right up to the front door.
Later, with Kim riding shotgun, Crandall drives his convertible between two brick posts with the number 280 on them. Stopping outside a house, they climb out and regard the front porch.
Jack, this place looks deserted.
Well, this is the address he gave me.
McClure aims a pistol.
Don't bother to go inside. It's an empty house and there isn't anyone home. Now, you just keep it nice and quiet and no one will get hurt.
His partner frisks Crandall.
Okay, put him into the car. Let's get moving.
Holding a gun, the clean-shaven thief ushers Crandall and Kim away. Later, the couple rides in the back seat while McClure drives.
Where are you taking us?
That depends on wherever your boyfriend stashed the Cosgrove necklace.
I don't want to seem stupid, but I don't have the slightest idea what this is all about.
Don't try to play it cool, Crandall. We saw the mutt take the lunch pail.
Lunch pail? What's a lunch pail got to do with it?
Your boyfriend knows the answer to that one, too. The necklace was in it.
The dog stole it for him in the woods yesterday morning.
In the woods?
Riding shotgun, the clean-shaven man nods while pointing a pistol at Crandall.
Look. If he did steal a necklace or a lunch pail with a necklace in it, he was strictly on his own. He never brought anything back to the chopper.
You expect us to swallow that?
It's the truth. He must have dropped it or buried it someplace.
Well, that means that it's probably still in the woods somewhere.
They're stolen.
Well, there's only one way to find out. We're going to have to go out in the boondocks and look for ourselves.
It's on the other side of town. It'll take us more than an hour to get there.
Not the way I got it planned. Crandall can fly us out in a chopper in a few minutes.
What makes you think I'll go along with that?
McClure eyes his partner's gun.
That.
I give you this much. You sure have a way with words.
Scowling, McClure keeps his gaze on the road while Crandall and Kim trade a look. Later, the thieves' car pulls to a stop at the airport and its four occupants get out.
Where's the telephone?
In the office.
You put him in a chopper, I'll be right back.
McClure heads into the K-Pay building while his partner ushers the couple forward at gunpoint, then stuffs his gun hand into his jacket pocket. Crandall goes to unlock the helicopter's door, then glances aside to see the mechanic riding over on a scooter.
Hey, Jack!
Who's he?
My mechanic.
Okay, but just remember, I can pull this trigger faster than you can, you'll help.
The mechanic stops before them.
Jack, what are you doing here? I've never known him to be early before. Well, you might say I'm buttering up a potential sponsor with a little sightseeing cruise.
Oh, a sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
You do get the idea, don't you?
Kim points a finger gun at him.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. He's a real big shot. Good luck.
Smiling, the mechanic returns the gesture, then rides away. Crandall and Kim exchange a disappointed glance, then stare after him. McClure ambles over to his partner's side.
Travella meet us out there. He lives on that side of town. He's gonna bring the mutt to help us look. Hey, fly boy. You know something? For your sake, I hope that necklace is out there, or this is liable to be a one-way ride. For both of yous. Come on, let's go.
Crandall turns to the helicopter. Later, the aircraft flies above a region filled with barren, craggy hills. Crandall pilots with Kim beside him and the two thieves sitting in the back seats. Peering out a window, the clean-shaven man gazes at a freeway. As Crandall picks up a pair of headphones and goes to put them on, McClure aims his pistol.
Hold it, Crandall.
I was only going to check in with traffic control. It gets a little crowded up here.
Yeah, well, forget it. You just keep your mouth shut and nobody will pay any attention to us.
Okay, you're calling the shots.
He hangs the headphones on the dashboard switch and the ready light turns on. Meanwhile, in the control room.
That's Crandall. How come he's got the bird out so early?
Maybe they're out looking for worms.
I'm going to put on the tape delay. We better hear what he's going to say before we put him on the air.
In the chopper, the light labeled on the air switches on.
You can forget about that gun now. We're 2,000 feet up.
That's a little high to start running, isn't it?
You fly that chopper, Crandall. Let me worry about the gun.
Sorry, I didn't quite hear what you said.
You just fly that chopper. I'll take care of the gun.
You know, I can't figure you out. If you were this jumpy when you stole the Cosgrove necklace, I'm surprised you ever got it out of the house.
In the control room.
What's he talking about? Is he on the level?
I don't know.
Get up, Kate.
Knock it off, Crandall. I've had it with the small talk. All I want to hear is how long it's going to take us to get there.
Well, let's see. We've been flying for about 7.5 minutes.
Meanwhile...
Just a cheap publicity stunt. The police have called me and told me he's up to something.
Applegate switches off the recording machine.
7 minutes. You idiot, what are you doing recording that dribble? Now you get rid of that tape. You burn it, you erase it, anything. Do you know we could lose our license for broadcasting a lot of false crime reports? Cut me in on the circuit. Stop making faces. Crandall, what is all this nonsense about guns and necklaces?
Crandall eyes the headphones, then breaks into a laugh and looks at Kim, who joins in.
It's nothing to laugh about. The police have called me. They're going to report us to the FCC if you pull any phony publicity stunt.
In the helicopter, as McClure stares at the couple, his partner smiles, then chuckles.
What are you laughing at?
The same thing they laughed at.
I order you to stop laughing.
Kim flicks the dashboard switch and the line cuts out.
Now stop it, everyone!
Meanwhile...
And furthermore, you get that chopper back to the airport on the double. I'll have you arrested for grand theft. What do you want?
Excuse me, Mr. Applegate, but he cut you off.
I don't care about that. What do you mean he cut me off? Who's running the station anyway?
It's for you.
I'm busy
it's
now.
It's the police.
It's the police. Why don't you say it? Hello, Applegate speaking.
This is Lieutenant Burroughs.
You mean that the Cosgrove necklace really was stolen?
We've just been alerted by the robbery detail.
Well, then Crandall really is...
Where's Crandall now?
Oh, he's... we've got the whole thing on tape. It's all down on tape. The tape, you lunatic. What are you trying to do with the tape? You're trying to ruin the biggest news stories. It's the great train robbery. Lieutenant, you better get over here right away because I can personally wrap this thing up for you no time flat.
Holding the tape, Applegate hangs up. Now the helicopter slowly descends and lands on the arid scrubland. A sedan drives over and pulls to a stop nearby. The clean-shaven thief opens the helicopter's rear door and hops out, aiming his pistol at Kim as she disembarks. McClure leads Crandall around the helicopter to their side, then shuts the front door. They turn to the sedan, and Travell climbs out, followed by Barabbas, who races over. The dog rears up, placing his forepaws on Crandall's chest.
Hey, Barabbas! Good boy!
Are you all right?
Good to see you.
Well, that's a touching reunion, but not exactly the reason we're here.
Who are you?
Let us say an interested party. Now then, you and your dog will have exactly 10 minutes to find that necklace.
Oh, you can't put a time limit on a thing like that.
Travell eyes a pocket watch.
Starting right now.
Trading a glance with Kim, Crandall gives Travell a nod.
Starting right now. Barabbas, please, the lunchbox. Go get it. The lunchbox, what'd you do with it? Fetch, boy, fetch.
Turning away, Barabbas jogs off and disappears behind a bush.
Great dog, understands every word you say.
Meanwhile, Burroughs listens to the tape.
By north by northwest at a speed of 110 miles an hour.
Oh, that tape is worth a fortune. I mean, that's an absolute fortune.
We should be landing at the Indian Avenue turnoff in 7 minutes.
You idiot, what do you think you're doing recording that dribble?
We'll strike that last remark.
Lieutenant, I can't raise a helicopter. No answer at all.
Probably landed by now. I'll get a unit out there right away.
Yes, get a unit out there. But make sure nothing happens to Crandall. You understand? Nothing. Oh, I love that little fellow like a brother.
The lieutenant makes a call.
There he is.
At the scrubland, Crandall points at Barabbas, who runs over with an object in his mouth. Travell watches Crandall take a dirty boot from the dog's mouth. Smirking, the jewelry store owner nods.
Understands every word you say.
Give the dog a chance, will you? He thinks it's all a game. Barabbas, listen to me. We don't want this. Understand? Now, go get the lunchbox, please.
4.5 minutes, Mr. Crandall.
Kim crouches.
The lunchbox, Barabbas. You know, food. Eat good. Good food. And it's all in the lunchbox, Barabbas. Barabbas, do you understand? The lunchbox.
She pets Barabbas, who turns away and sprints off again. The couple gazes after him, smiling. Barabbas runs through a thicket of shrubs, then circles one before trotting to another. Stopping, he lowers his nose to the ground. A tiny yellow bird sits atop a thin branch. Lifting his head, Barabbas sees it fly away, then hurries off. Back by the helicopter, the clean-shaven thief checks his watch.
This sure is taking a long time.
Well, you waited this long. Another few minutes won't kill you.
That's rather neatly put, Mr. Crandall. Too bad I can't guarantee the same for you.
As Kim glares at Travell, Crandall glances at the thief.
Let's see if we can help him find it.
He leads Kim away, and the crooks follow.
2.25 minutes, Mr. Crandall.
Meanwhile, Barabbas ambles around a shrub-filled patch of land. A small rodent sticks its head out of a hole in the ground, and Barabbas stalks toward it stealthily. He comes to a stop beside the lunchbox. The rodent raises its head and glances around, while Barabbas stares, panting. The rodent slinks back into its hole. Barabbas takes a few steps forward, and the rodent pushes some dug-up dirt into the hole's opening, blocking it. Elsewhere.
Barabbas! Barabbas! Where are you?
Barabbas!
Crandall's stalling, Mr. Travell. He's been stalling ever since we grabbed him.
Perhaps, but unfortunately for Mr. Crandall, his 10 minutes are almost up.
Look, I'm not stalling. I don't know where it is.
They walk through a thicket of bushes. Meanwhile, Barabbas digs the ground near the lunchbox and sniffs it.
Over there!
Kim and the crooks follow Crandall and arrive at the dog's side.
Good old Barabbas. This what you're looking for?
Crandall picks up the lunchbox and hands it to Travell, who opens it.
It's in a jug.
Taking out the red flask, Travell unscrews its lid and peers inside. Smiling, he tilts the flask and the necklace falls out into his hand.
That's it. Finally.
Wow, it's beautiful.
Well, now we've lived up to our part of the deal, I guess we can go our separate ways.
I'm afraid it's not that simple, Mr. Crandall. You see, the two of you could easily identify me to the police. Of course, I'm not at all a violent man. I'm afraid I have no other choice.
Barabbas snatches the necklace and dashes off. Travell fires a revolver.
You watched him. You come with me.
McClure follows him.
Hold it!
As the couple turn to leave, the clean-shaven man draws his gun. Nearby, Travell gets behind the wheel of his car while McClure climbs into the passenger seat. They drive off. Kim and Crandall share a sly look, and the clean-shaven man regards them with narrowed eyes. Kim glances down past him.
Barabbas, what are you doing back here?
As the thief turns, Crandall punches him, then hurries to the helicopter with Kim and opens the door for her before climbing into the pilot's seat. Elsewhere, Barabbas races down a wide dirt clearing with the necklace in his mouth. Travel's car speeds after him. Meanwhile, the helicopter lifts off the ground, its tail swinging in an arc as it executes a 180-degree turn before flying off. Inside.
Hello, hello. This is Crandall in the helicopter.
In the control room.
This is Lieutenant Burroughs. Where are you now?
Just above the woods near the Indian Avenue turnoff. Barabbas has the necklace and they're chasing him.
The lieutenant and Applegate look at one another. Meanwhile, as Travel's car races after him, Barabbas veers off and runs between trees. McClure aims his gun out the window. Barabbas stops as shots strike a nearby tree, then the ground. He turns to look at his pursuers, then bolts.
Crandall, we've got 3 units on the way. Just keep at a safe distance and don't take any chances till my men arrive.
Sorry, Lieutenant, I can't wait.
Crandall flies the helicopter toward a grove of trees. Meanwhile, as the clean-shaven man lies unconscious on the ground, Barabbas licks his face. Breaking into a smile, the thief bobbles his head, then opens his eyes to see the dog with the necklace dangling from his mouth. His smile vanishing, he blinks in surprise and sits up. Barabbas runs away and he gives chase. They head into a thicket of bushes. Elsewhere, as McClure and Travel drive along in the car, Barabbas emerges onto their path from a bush up ahead.
We've got him.
McClure's partner suddenly emerges in front of them and Travel slams the brakes.
Gee, Mr. Travel, I almost caught him!
Idiot, I was going to catch him. You were supposed to.
Barabbas stands on a patch of ground with the necklace lying nearby. Picking it up with his teeth, he bounds away.
Get in, come on!
The clean-shaven thief gets into the back seat and the car peels out. The K-Pay helicopter flies over a tree canopy. Frowning, Crandall watches Barabbas winding past a bush with Travel's car in pursuit. As the chase continues over arid terrain alongside a dirt track, Crandall pushes the helicopter's control stick forward. The helicopter descends in front of the car and Travel yanks the steering wheel. Flying low over the ground, the helicopter turns to face the car, which swerves off the track. The chopper blocks its path, then does so again when it drives to the other side of the track. The occupants of the car bounce in their seats, and the clean-shaven thief hits his head on the roof. Travel maneuvers his car around on the bumpy ground while Crandall keeps blocking it with the helicopter. McClure leans out and fires at the helicopter, grazing Crandall's window. In the control room, Burroughs holds the mic while Applegate stands beside him.
What was that?
They're shooting at us.
Oh, good, good, good. Don't worry about the helicopter, boy. It's insured.
Applegate returns the mic to the lieutenant, who stares at him. Meanwhile, Barabbas charges along a patch of uneven ground. Following him, Travel drives over a shallow ditch, and the clean-shaven man hits his head on the roof again, then seethes. As the St. Bernard sprints along open land, the helicopter emerges from behind a tree, then flies over. Its landing skids mere feet above the ground. Driving along the track, Travel's eyes widen as the helicopter flies straight at his car.
Hey, look out!
The helicopter flies over the car, which veers to the right, dust billowing from its tires.
Look at all that dust!
Good, let's give him some more.
The car fishtails back onto the dirt track. The helicopter flies low after it, kicking up a cloud of dust in its wake. As the helicopter overtakes his car, Travel stares with a worried expression. Flying sideways, the helicopter churns up a thick cloud of dust that engulfs the car. Its occupants wave their hands as the dust streams in through the windows and coats them. With dust obscuring his path, Travel wrestles with the steering wheel and the car veers off to one side. Up ahead, Barabbas stops running and turns back. The cloud of dust clears partly to reveal the crashed car, its rear door hanging open. The helicopter lands nearby, and the couple climbs out, then hurries over. Back at the car, the clean-shaven man crawls out onto large rocks through the broken door, his head and clothes covered in dust. Raising his head, he spots Barabbas standing ahead with the necklace in his mouth. He turns to the car.
Your worries are over, Mr. Travell. I'm gonna get your necklace for you.
Travell and McClure watch as he approaches Barabbas, aiming his gun. Dropping the necklace, the dog runs and leaps at him. The couple runs over to see Barabbas with the gun in his mouth aimed at the thief.
Easy, fella, that thing can go off.
Looks like Barabbas has the whole thing wrapped up.
Crandall takes the gun.
Thanks, Barabbas. Just goes to show, it takes a thief to catch a thief.
Travell and McClure raise their hands. Now in Mrs. Formby's apartment.
Don't worry, Cleopatra. You're not going to sneeze anymore. Look at this.
A whistle.
It's the very latest ultrasonic dog whistle. And if a dog is hidden in one of my apartments, this will ferret it out at once.
Setting her cat down, she steps out into the hallway and shuts the door behind her, then puts the whistle between her lips and blows into it. Frowning, she glances aside, then tries again. Beaming, she looks aside to see six small dogs running over. On the other side, several more dogs race in through the parking area. Her eyes widening, Mrs. Formby hurries into her apartment. Kim and Crandall step out of an elevator to see the dogs who stream into the apartment as its doors open. Mrs. Formby stands behind an armchair, swatting at the dogs as they jump at her.
Dogs! Dogs! Go away! Go away! Get out of my apartment!
Sitting on a high shelf, Cleopatra sneezes. Kim and Crandall appear at the open door with the cardboard box.
Wait, well, I see you allow dogs now.
I think that's great. And so does Barabbas.
He lifts the box, revealing Barabbas. Mrs. Formby brings a hand to her mouth as she stares fearfully. Kim trades a grin with Crandall, then gives the landlady a wave before heading off.
Mr. Crandall, come back! Take these creatures away from me! Get them away from me! You can keep your dog wherever you want to!
Later, Crandall drives Kim and Barabbas.
Well, how does it feel to be an executive?
Special Publicity Director of Grow Fast Dog Food. Sounds all right. Let's go out and celebrate.
Okay, great.
You too, Barabbas.
And here's a word from your Grow Fast AirWatch reporter, Happy Jack.
Happy Jack? I wonder who they got to replace you.
In the chopper, Applegate holds a mic while a man pilots.
The freeways seem to be clear now, with the exception of the outbound lanes of the Metropolitan Freeway.
That's the Valley Freeway.
The Valley Freeway, where it intersects the Ridge Route.
Not the Ridge Route, that's the Coast Highway.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Kim and Crandall smile.
If you want a healthy doggy, Grow Fast is the food to buy. It will start his tail a wagging, tastes as good as apple pie. So when you market for your doggy, be sure to buy our choicest blend. It will help to make you happy.
The chopper soars over the city. Fade to black. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voiced by Darren Revitz.